Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained? This is episode 102. I cannot believe we've passed the 100 and still are going strong. 102. It is March 14th, 2018, and I am your host, Russ. And as always, I am joined by Kent. But because we had a pay-per-view this weekend, we're also joined by Steve. Guys, how we doing? Steve?
Oh, I'm good. A bit tired because of the daylight savings time thing.
Yeah. Still? Still getting you?
Yes, I'm old and don't adjust easily.
You know what's weird? I have the exact same problem, I think, because I could not fall asleep yesterday until about 12, and I usually go to sleep around 11, so I got you. Kent, how you doing?
Adequate.
Good to hear it. All right. So if you don't know what we do, you should at this point because we had 102 of these episodes. But I'm going to remind you anyway, we talk about wrestling.
And we had 101 of these.
That's right. This is the 102nd.
Technically 103 because of 98.
Yes.
That's three episodes.
Yes.
Have you hit 100 plus viewers yet? Total.
Steve, shut your mouth.
I think we have.
Or listeners.
But only because Carrie watches it once or listens once a week. So I think we have hit 103 views. But we talk wrestling, and really we just do it for ourselves, right? So we talk about the week in wrestling. All right, so before we do any talk of a week of wrestling, Kent, tell me, what was your moment of bliss this week?
I've been to the dentist twice this week, and I'm going again tomorrow. And today hurt a lot. To the point where I was like kind of tempted to be like, hey, you need to stop. Like, I was, like, really, like, bearing down on the chair with my hands.
The hell were they doing? Pain.
Just cleaning them. I don't handle dental pain.
I don't either, but wow, even cleanies don't bother me, but I got you, okay.
Yeah, go ahead, you can stab me, cut me, burn me, I'm fine with that. Dental work, I can't handle. So tomorrow they're sedating me, and they're going remove a wisdom tooth and another tooth that got fucked because of the wisdom tooth. So I'm going to be loopy tomorrow, and that'll be fun.
We should have done the video. We should have done the podcast tomorrow, then.
Yeah, Ron's bringing me home, and we're going to try playing Resident Evil 5 while I'm completely out of my mind. It'll be fun.
Should be.
I think I'll do fine.
You should stream that.
That would be kind of funny.
Also, I found out that I went to the kidney doctor, and apparently kidney stone gone. So, yay.
Good.
You didn't pass it? It just went away?
It could have, like, kind of got broken up and dissolved a little bit.
Did it dissolve? Yeah.
So, that's what they're going with, and he's like, we could do another scan, or we could just book you for a year down the road. I was like, all right, that sounds good. And I always love, like, when you go to the eye doctor, they're like, all right, we're going to set you up for a year from now. How does the 12th of January work for you around, like, 11:30 a.m.? The fuck? I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow, nonetheless a year from now, but always great. And I had Domino's tonight because this week, they're having a buy one, get one free, any pizza, any size.
Online.
So. Today's Pie Day.
It is Pie Day, yes.
And people count pizza as pie, so.
Yeah.
It's called
also,
pizza
they
pie.
They offered me cinnamon twist for $1. So I was like, hell yeah. Because I can't eat after a certain time tonight. So I'm going to eat as much as I can tonight.
Until that time.
Up to
yeah.
A minute before.
I got to 11:54. Must eat more. One more bite.
And that is my moment of bliss.
All right. Sounds good. That was a good one. A lot of dialogue in that one. We don't normally do too much dialogue, but that was good. All right. So, pay-per-view happened this weekend. Fast Lane happened. But honestly, guys, I feel like it was more like Fast Lame, right?
Yeah.
Fast Lame.
Laughing on the inside.
You should be, because it's hilarious. So, we're going to review Fast Lame. And we'll talk about what happened in each of the matches. So, are you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Let's talk about the kickoff show. We had Ty Dillinger, Breeze Dongo, versus Mojo Rawley, Chad Gable, and Shelter Benjamin, or also known as American Beta. Kent, Tell me, what'd you think?
Fucking hated it. It was one of the worst matches I have seen this year. Did anybody else feel this way? Because I'm sitting there watching both members of Breezango missing their drop kicks worse than Lita with a fucking moonsault. Okay? And what the fuck happened to Fandango's body? Like, he is on the Connor diet all of a sudden, and it's not a good fucking look for a guy that's supposed to be this physical specimen who dances with a really talented girl and Summer Rae. Ty Dillinger was the only member of that team that came to work, and American Beta tried their best, but they were saddled with Mojo Rawley, and what a clusterfuck this was. I fucking loathe this match. What'd you think, Steve? Did you hate it? Did you love it?
I did not like it. I thought Mojo was going to get some kind of a push when he turned heel, but I guess not, since he took the pin, right?
Yeah, he did. He did lose. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. To whatever Ty Dillinger did to pin him.
The tiebreaker.
Did he actually hit the tiebreaker?
He did hit the tiebreaker. That's about the only move I remember out of the whole thing, because it was a clusterfuck. You're right.
Oh, wait. There was one other move I remembered. There was a woman with a beer in her hand trying to do the 10, but she could only do the 5, so she was only given the match 5. It was pretty good.
That's not what it deserves.
No, that's generous.
I gave it like a 1.5, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember giving it too high. It wasn't a terrible... Okay, besides what Breezango did... Besides what Breezango did, it wasn't terrible for the rest of it, but it was not good. Like, if I know I've said this before, but if Kickoff Show had a face, this match is Kickoff Show. This is the face of Kickoff Show. It was just, I feel so bad for Ty Dillinger. So bad for that guy. He is so talented, and he's got nothing. So, yeah.
Is it? You know, he's got to be damn close to 205. Can't they just relegate him down there?
I think it would be better for him. Wouldn't it?
I do, too. Does
205 count in a superstar shakeup?
Maybe, hopefully. Because I just feel like he is so wasted. And
I don't know what Tyler Breeze, too. He's about probably around there. He could probably make it, couldn't he?
Tyler's short, but he's put on some weight, too. Him and Fandango have been hanging out.
They've been out with Connor too much.
Yeah, like, they seriously got on the fucking Ascension diet.
All right. Well, let's stop wasting our time on this match. We feel bad for Dillinger. The rest of them, meh. Okay. All right. So, now on to the main card. Let's talk about the first match. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Rusev, and Shinsuke wins. Not a shocker. I'll start with this one. I really liked the match. These guys were really good together. They're both very physical and... It was brutal. Like, I thought some of the kicks, holy crap, devastating. I know Shinsuke's always usually devastating, but Rusev really brought it, and it was a fun match. But I think the crowd really sold this one on me, because the crowd was into it. How over is Rusev Day and Nakamura? I mean, I think this match had the most heat out of the entire rest of the night. And I thought it was a really good match. Really liked it. I was hoping they would surprise us with maybe a cheat win for Rusev. But not to happen. It's all right. Nakamura was great. Rusev was great. Steve.
Well, of course Nakamura is going to win. They're not going to have the guy who's been off TV for a month lose his pay-per-view match the week month before the WrestleMania. I liked Rusev's kick in the corner.
Yes.
That looks pretty devastating. I don't know what they're going to do with Rusev for WrestleMania, but he needs to be on that somehow.
They need to put him in that match.
They have 20 hours to fill, so I assume he will be in doing something.
Probably Battle Royal.
I think. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. What a waste of Rusev. Complete waste.
Can't him and English be a tag team and just toss him into one of the tag team matches?
They could. They should.
They should have, like, a Demolition Memorial Battle Royal.
That would be awesome.
Where all the unused talent, which I know we were going to get to, but God damn it. Fucking hate what they're doing.
All right, Kent, what'd you think of the match?
This was by far the match of the night for me. It wasn't even close. I don't care what anybody wants to say about that fucking last match, which I know we'll talk about, but this was actually a good match. The crowd helped, yeah.
Yeah.
But Rusev right now is playing the role of Luke Harper from last year, where he's putting on the match against the guy that's main eventing Mania and stealing the fucking show. And then he had this match with AJ. He had that great match with Bobby Roode a few weeks ago. Rusev is fucking killing it right now in the ring and out of the ring, plus with Aiden. Aiden's song was great. I really liked all the attempts to do the accolade and Shinsuke finding ways out of it.
Yes.
I like it was really well done technical wrestling that you don't expect from either guy, really. Mm-hmm. So I really liked that match.
All right. Okay, let's move on. The next match is the United States Championship for Randy Orton defeating Bobby Roode to take the title and now become a Grand Slam champion. Steve, I'm going to let you start this one off.
It's a good way to kill any heat the first match had. It's having two guys who are awful faces be faces and have a half hour, maybe more match.
Was it a half hour match?
Yeah.
Didn't feel like it.
It sure felt like it. It felt like maybe 2 hours. I don't know. But it was that good. It was just there, like nothing really happened. Except for the RKO out of nowhere.
That
which is like
really was.
Why are you diving head first on a guy standing up?
Yeah,
it makes no sense.
I was like, if this isn't an RKO, then I don't know what I'm doing. Kat, what'd you think?
I've tried watching it twice. I can't get through the match like paying attention. It was really long. I noticed on Raja when they were doing live updates, it was the only one that had three updates. Because I woke up in time to see the main event, and I quickly checked. I was like, holy shit, this match had to be pretty good. And I was wrong. Yeah. please, for the love of God, turn one of these guys heel. I don't care who. I guess Randy, because the crowd still pops for Randy. Bobby Roode needs to be a heel.
Yes.
We've known this since he's been there. He needs to be heel. So turn the
I
man
feel
heel.
Like half the SmackDown roster is miscast as a heel or face.
Yes. They're like trying... it seems like SmackDown...
Like two-thirds. I don't know.
Well, you know what it feels like with SmackDown? Is they're trying to get rid of the heel face mode. I mean, they still have a few. But it feels like they're trying to get rid of it and just be like, okay, we're going to make these guys look like assholes. If you want to boo them, go ahead. Doesn't it seem like they're trying to transition a little bit away from that? And it's not working exactly. Because this match right here...
They're trying. They are trying, but yeah, it's flopping.
Yeah.
It's big floppy donkey dick.
And isn't that bad? Because isn't that what we want? We want it to let us cheer for who we want to cheer for? Isn't that bad?
Yeah.
Like, we want that.
It's very lame.
It is. Fast lame. Fast lame. Come on. Let's use it. Let's kill it. Verbal trademark. So I didn't realize it was that long of a match. Here's the problem I have with this match. These guys are slow-moving guys to begin with. And the first... And this is probably why maybe I didn't think it was that long, because I phased out after maybe 5 minutes and came back towards the end when it started getting good. They were just so slow and methodical. Not great when they're both kind of like faces and you don't know who to cheer for. You know what I mean? You usually got to have that guy you hate to cheer for the other guy to get him up and moving, but it was just really tough.
Yeah, when you're sitting there cheering for Jinder to just come out and interfere to end the fucking match, when you're cheering, hoping for Jinder Mahal to save your evening, your match has gone awry.
Yes.
The inclusion of Jinder is going to really speed up that match for WrestleMania.
Oh, God, no. No, that is... They need to turn one, Randy or Bobby, like Kent said, heel before WrestleMania, or this is going to be another slow plotting... I don't know. I
have a question, though. Does Randy Orton immediately, like, when he gets to drop the other Singh brother on his head on the table like he did Tuesday, does he immediately go backstage and jerk off? Like, that has to be such instant gratification for him.
He loves doing it. He's like, yes. I don't know. The match wasn't terrible. It was just boring. And I think that's the problem. So, are we surprised that, first of all, Orton won? Or is this a good way of doing it?
It's fine. I don't care. That's my problem. Unfortunately, I don't have a care in the fucking world about this, so I'm fine with what they did. I just wish it would have been, you know, 20 times shorter.
Okay, fair enough.
Give them the Grand Slam title. I thought there'd be a heel turn at the end with Rude DDT'd him, but I guess not.
Yeah, man, that would have been great. Yeah, I'm okay with Randy getting it now, because that means Bobby can at least get it back, hopefully as a heel, at WrestleMania, and then play him up as a heel as the champion. Because Randy is gone after WrestleMania, right, for a while?
Yeah, he wasn't even supposed to be doing this much work, but here he is, doing work.
Yeah, I think he likes Bobby. That's because did you watch Talking Smack afterwards?
No, I've had my fucking fill of wrestling this week.
Good, because Talking Smack was terrible, but...
It was terrible.
Randy was glowing about Bobby and how much he likes... Like, he was like, this was a great match, it was so much fun.
He likes him?
Likes him. Likes him.
He also enjoyed Cena crying, which was kind of weird.
Yes, that was funny. It was funny, but... All right.
What's Cena missing from the Grand Slam or whatever? Is it the Intercontinental Championship that he's never had? Has to be, right?
I can't believe he's not a Grand Slam champion already.
Wait, he's never won Universal. Randy's never won Universal. Has he?
Does that count?
Apparently.
Do we count that? Because we don't even call it Universal. You're calling it Universal shocks the hell out of me.
Has he ever won the fucking red belt?
No, he never won the red belt. I don't think so. You're right. He can't be a Grand Slam champion.
It must be a certain set of belts, and he has them.
Yeah, the WWE Championship, Intercontinental, United States, and Tag Team. I think that's it.
Well, there it is.
And as long as you own either Universal or the WWE
as
Championship.
You own blue or red, you're fine?
Yeah.
Crips with blood?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Starting
out. Seriously, that's what WWE did. They're like, we need colors. Let's just do Crips and Bloods, guys.
That worked so well.
God damn it, that's great.
All right, let's move on. And we're going to move through this one fast, I have a feeling. Maddie and Carmella defeat Becky and Naomi in a match nobody gives a shit about. I'll go first. Fuck it, because Becky lost. Again, the most deserving person there lost. Carmella needed a win, I guess. But Becky losing. Has Becky won a pay-per-view in the last 2 years?
Yeah.
Has she been on many? I don't think she's been on many.
Within 2 years, yeah, she was world
champion. Yeah. That's what I was wondering. Is like, did she even defend it at a pay-per-view? I don't know. But this was terrible. Terrible. Kent?
I didn't mind it. I'm actually really enjoying what Carmella's doing. She's added some moves to her repertoire in her 6 months of relegation of doing nothing. The greatest thing the WWE could really do right now, since they blew their load and not having the bearded man beat the beast, I think the greatest thing they could do is have Carmella cash in and defeat Asuka. That is what I demand.
That would be shocking as hell, so I don't think
that's... What would be better is her cashing in and James Ellsworth beating Carmella.
Yes.
Asuka.
Oh my god, yes. I would give WWE $20 extra. If they made that a reality, here's my money. I didn't hate the match. I mean, it was actually better than the other women's match. It was faster paced. It told a better story. Am I wrong, Steve?
No, it was better, but I did not like Becky role playing as Seth Rollins' pants. That was pretty awful.
Why
and then
weren't
Seth
they
wore his pants the next night?
why weren't they in the mixed tag together?
They should have been, apparently.
Apparently.
The outfit made her.
Yeah, I know, right?
They were like, burn it down and hot fire or whatever. It was a great team.
They could have been straight fire pants.
Yeah, straight fire pants.
Exactly. There you go. Next year. Next season.
That is, yeah. When Rollins goes over to SmackDown, that'll be the tag.
Right. When they have the mixed tag team belts, yeah. We'll go for them.
Yeah. Like, after the gauntlet match, could they have held a bigger sign? Like, could they have just given Seth a shirt that said, moving to SmackDown after WrestleMania?
Yeah.
They may as well just put that on a fucking shirt.
Yeah. All right, let's move on because this isn't worth talking about. All right, the tag team championship match: Usos versus the New Day ends in a no contest thanks to the bludgeoning. Verbal trademark. Steve, what you got?
It was a good match. I like how they had to take each other's moves because they fought each other a million times already, so they have to use each other's moves to do it. The ending was, I think, it's a disappointment to have a match in a no count on a pay-per-view. But not pay-per-views aren't that special anymore. It's just a WrestleMania, which is what they have to do. So it makes sense that end.
Okay. Kent?
I don't know. I mean, this was a historic pay-per-view. It's last time ever that we're going to get a brand-specific pay-per-view until they decide, oh, we can make this work this time around, guys. And they'll talk themselves into it. And they'll do it good for about a year and then start fucking each other in the ass. Speaking of fucking each other in the ass, that's kind of what this match kind of felt like a little bit. It was enjoyable for a little while, and then you realize you were just fucking each other in the ass. And at least there was some bludgeoning at the end. And I don't know. Like, I had fun with it. There was nothing...
Nothing new?
It was here's the thing. If they would have carried on the match and actually had a legit ending, people would have been like, well, what about the Bludgeon Brothers? So they kind of had to do it that way. Like, you weren't going to satisfy all the audience either way. So I think they went the right route with this one.
I agree with you. I liked the match. These still are guys are still put on great shows. But I think this had to end this way, to me, because we've seen Usos versus New Day end so many times. I think this is the seventh time they fought each other in the last year.
I'm just shocked that Dean Ambrose and Miz didn't do a run-in and have a match in the middle.
Yeah. But I really liked what they did with the Bludgeon Brothers. It was great. So, yeah. Kudos. Hopefully they'll finally... They haven't held the tag team championships, have they? We thought they should, and they never did. Right.
They never did as members of the Wyatt family.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that they correct that mistake this time around. Hopefully. We'll see. All right. Let's move on from this one, then, and go to... Oh, God. The Women's Championship. Lil Flair defeated Ruby Riott to retain the title. Let's start with Kent.
Well, over at Kent's corner this week, first of all, I want to acknowledge that Jeff Hardy, you're doing Jeff Hardy things, and that's just why Steve and I never said hello to you when we had the opportunity. You just keep raising the bar. You just really amaze me. So, you know, just kind of keeping flow with Carrie's corner, and that was Ken's corner for the week. Now, moving on to the stellar match that I sat through and watched all of. It was really nice to see Eugene get his swagger back this week on Walking Dead. Kind of sad to see Father Gabriel losing his sight. And they actually killed off the other Dr. Carson, because, you know, there was the Carson brothers, and they were both doctors, because, I don't know, when you have a brother, you have the same profession, right? That's what you do. So, yeah, that was all right. Like, it was good storylines, by and large. Really hate Tara. Always hate Tara. And Daryl's quite the bitch this week. I don't know. Still a good episode. Just not as good as last week's. Last week's might be the standard for the season. So, and yes, I did sit down. I actually watched this match. I did not skip it for once.
Okay.
And yet it is still the second worst thing on the goddamn card. That's only if we count the goddamn kickoff show. Because Ruby Riott, I've been saying this forever. She's not that good. She's not. She is what she is, which is like a low to mid card female wrestler, but because it's female wrestling and there's only like 8 females per roster, like, she's just kind of like, gotta get a push someday, right? Unless your name's Dana Brooke. I don't know. Charlotte tried. Ruby tried. I tried to watch it.
I'm surprised that you actually did try to watch it. I'll go next. I agree with you. It was terrible in the fact that it was just kind of boring. But I thought Rumi did a few things really well. Not wrestling. Not the
did
wrestling.
Did she get a tattoo mid-match or something that I missed?
No. I thought she healed very well. I thought when she was attacking on the offensive versus Charlotte, I really, really liked how she was taunting Charlotte the entire time. It was good the way she did it, too. It was very poignant, I guess. I don't know how to say it. But it was really good, I thought. She did a really good job with that. Wrestling, she's okay.
Did you just use the word poignant to describe heel tactics?
Yes. I couldn't think of how to exactly...
I'm not sure that word means what you think it means.
I know what poignant means. It means accurate or, like, you know, very important, accurate and important or something like that.
The bar has been raised yet again.
Yes. But I don't know. I just there's something missing with Ruby. That's the biggest problem. Like, her wrestling is okay. It's a little bit above subpar.
I'll tell you what it is, Russ. She doesn't come out to Rancid's Ruby Soho.
Possibly.
That's what it is. If she came out to that, you would at least get into her entrance and give her more of a shot. But
true.
Because her entrance music is such dog shit. By the time she's already in the ring, you're just like, oh my god, will you just shut up? Even if she doesn't say a word, you just want her to shut the fuck up and move on.
It's true. Steve, what'd you think?
Charlotte Flair is lucky her last name is Flair.
Steve, that's very poignant.
Isn't it? That match had a lot of missed spots. I don't know whose fault it was. Probably both.
Both.
Ruby's better as a face than a heel. That would help her out a lot if she's a face and could actually get the crowd behind her, which usually happens.
Charlotte would be better as a heel and not a face.
Charlotte's better heel. Yep, more miscast people, but, you know, she's a Flair, so everyone loves her, apparently. They want to try to push down our throats. I don't know. She's awful in the ring, off on the mic.
Ugh.
She doesn't deserve to be NXT even. She should be not even wrestling.
See, yeah, it's nice when match. I'm not saying this stuff, because it validates my opinion.
Like, I don't think Charlotte's had one good match that she has been involved. Well,
yes, Sasha.
NXT with...
No, Raw and Sasha. That Raw-Sasha match with her and
Raw,
Sasha.
No.
That was good. I don't care.
No. Go ahead, rewatch it and tell me how good it is.
Better than half the crap she puts out.
Yeah, it's like saying diarrhea is better than the crap I took this morning.
How do I know? All right. Then, after the match, Asuka comes out to challenge Charlotte Flair. Shocked, Kent?
I didn't watch Talking Dead this week.
Steve? Shocked?
Kind of, because on the last Raw pay-per-view, they had a match where if Nia Jax won, it would have been a three-way with her, Asuka, and Alexa Bliss for the title. And apparently Asuka never said who she wanted to wrestle. She couldn't because someone had to point to a sign that's never been there before. So she couldn't do it when she won the Rumble. So I guess she never got to choose, and they just assumed it was Raw, and we all did. But it's a better choice to have her face Charlotte, I guess, since Charlotte's the Flair. She gets to wrestle Asuka.
True.
Is there any chance of that match being any good?
Yes, because Charlotte's going to get beat up.
Better than Rousey and Stephanie McMahon.
Ugh.
I mean, it's going to be Charlotte getting her head kicked in.
Yeah, Asuka. So I'm okay with that. Yeah, I was about to say, I'm not shocked that Asuka came out and challenged her. It seemed like it was inevitable considering they wouldn't let Asuka make the decision. They just kind of like held off on it. So you're like, why is she holding off so long? And now there's a reason why.
Here's a better question. Who's better on the mic right now in this moment? Charlotte Flair, who has spoken English for however
her
many
life,
20,
right,
for 30 some years, or Asuka? Who's better on the mic?
Asuka.
I gotta go with Asuka.
Yeah, nobody better than Asuka.
Nobody's better. She's getting better on the mic, though, too. She's getting more comfortable, which is good.
I don't care. She's just adorable on the mic, so please, don't improve at all. Please, just stay safe. Yeah.
All right.
I think Asuka's better than... oh, shit, who's that luchador that really fucked up on the draft night? Kalisto.
Oh, Kalisto, yeah, yeah.
I was like, Sin Cara?
All right, let's move on to the WWE Championship. AJ Styles retains after defeating Kevin Owens, John Cena, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, Baron Corbin in a six-pack challenge. Steve, I'll let you break this one down for us in the beginning.
Shane McMahon is the worst person alive. He's the owner, commissioner, something or other of SmackDown, supposedly, and he cost two of his employees chances to win the match. Because he's
in land of opportunity, Steve.
Yeah, land of opportunity.
It was probably by default the second best match of the night.
Yeah, I went with my first, and I'll explain it later. But go ahead.
I hate Shane McMahon being involved in that match. Like, why do you sit in the corner?
Yeah, why do you even come out?
Yeah, why do you even come out to watch it? It makes no sense. I'm glad Cena didn't win. I'm glad they have AJ and Shinsuke locked up for WrestleMania. I like the ending shot where Cena was in the corner, like crying, and then AJ had the belt.
Yeah,
WrestleMania in the background. That was good camera work. And once again, Shane McMahon is terrible.
Okay, Kent.
Can I hear your stupid ass explanation why you like this match before I go on my tangent? I'm more curious about what you have to say here.
It was just more.
It's more poignant.
Yes, it was more poignant.
Here comes the lameness.
No, well, not fast lame. This isn't fast. I mean, the whole thing was fast lameness. The whole thing was. I like this match better because there was more story. Honestly, story being told.
Throughout, no, there wasn't.
Throughout the whole thing.
No, there wasn't.
I mean, like, all the different stories. Yeah, all the different stories converging and setting up for WrestleMania.
The Shane versus KO thing that we've had going for 9 months.
Which is finally moving ahead.
Listen, that fucking storyline started before the Money in the Bank match, which featured five of the six fucking guys, okay? Like, we just saw this match past summer. Except they had a ladder and it was exciting. And then we had this shit, and you want to tell me this is better than Shinsuke versus Rusev?
I'm saying, yes. The only thing, here's my problem with it. The crowd really elevated, technically, the Shinsuke.
Stop with the crowd bullshit.
But I was more, slightly more. I'm not going to say it was a ton more. I'm just saying I was slightly more entertained by the six-pack challenge. That's what I'm saying.
You know, one good part was, I didn't mention, Dolph Ziggler, the character, is still worthless.
Oh, yeah. Well, we all knew that. We all knew this was going to be worthless. I didn't feel like Baron did anything. Did I miss Baron in this match?
He did a great deep six to AJ.
Did he? I did not see anything Baron did. I felt like he was out there, and I never saw him after he got F5'd by John Cena. So I must have missed it.
Ladies and gentlemen, F5'd?
Sorry, AA'd.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, our 2017 Money in the Bank champion.
did he do anything else other than the great deep six to AJ?
He fought with Ziggler.
Ziggler, actually, right? Yeah, Ziggler. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So what you're saying is that we had a match which continued a 10-month storyline.
Finally moved it along. Kidding me? Jesus.
Finally moved it along. What? We're stuck at the same spot we've been stuck at for fucking a millennia now. Like, we're going to have fucking 5 Star Wars movies come out before this fucking god-awful bullshit ends. Please. Fucking Cena was the shining star of this whole fucking thing, and that's what really breaks my fucking balls, was that he was probably the most interesting thing about the whole fucking match. Really, if you don't have Cena and his quest for number 17 and the possibility of him ruining the main event for WrestleMania, this match has no interest. And that was the one thing you could have said, Russ. That was the one thing.
That's part of it. That's part of the stories.
Old man Cena's quest.
That's part of the stories. I like
stories. There's no, there was no stories. It was AJ's going to retain. KO and Shane,
okay,
and Sammy.
AJ retains, gives us our story for WrestleMania's main event. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and Shane finally is moving along so we can finish the fucking story.
Why do you keep saying finally move along?
Because it's been dead for like 6 months.
It's still dead.
No, it finally moved it to a plot point that's beyond it. Well, now we know Shane's gone. Or
no, he's not.
He's stepping down.
Nothing's happened, Russ.
He's stepping down because he overstepped his bounds, and he knows it. So it's a movement. That's a movement of a story. You can't tell me that's not a movement of a story.
You can't tell me that Charlotte and Sasha didn't have a great match.
See, that's what I love about you. You have to go the insult wave when you know I've proved a point.
I didn't insult you. I just made fun of your horrible taste in wrestling.
So, and again, you're making this sound like I loved this match, like it was ending the world. No, it was the best match of the night out of a...
And you're failing to acknowledge how much better that was than this garbage juice of a redundancy that didn't do anything. Before this match happened, what stories did we have going into it? AJ's going to take on Shinsuke. Sammy and KO are probably going to be involved with Shane McMahon. Oh, what happened afterwards? Oh, AJ's still fighting Shinsuke? Oh, KO and Sammy are
We also had John
Shane?
Cena could become...
Wow, look at that progression. Dolph Ziggler, he's a young up-and-comer. Baron Corbin, nothing happened.
No, the... John Cena part was interesting. He could become number 17. They didn't play it up strong enough towards the end, but...
Right. This match was a fucking failure. It could have been better.
Could have all the matches.
No. Charlotte stole the show.
I mean...
And our hearts.
Definitely our hearts. I mean...
Can we move on?
We can. It was just slightly better than the other match. That's all to me.
I just wish we had fans so they could, like,
chime in.
Like, Russ is a fucking retard for defending this match.
Because you could go make, like, 12 fake accounts and just email in.
Note to self, making fake accounts.
Look, Russ, I got all these things. They all say you're an idiot. I'm not going to prove it to you.
I just got a text message from Harper Lee. Russ is a retard. Even though she has no access to this right now.
Oh, look, an honor Russ just texted us, too.
You could just text that whenever you want. It'd probably be right.
All right, let's move on. So that was Fast Lame. A waste of a pay-per-view.
You only hit it 9 times, Russ.
That's it?
Yep.
I wish I'd done it more. Fast Lame, Fast Lame, too. Fast Lame. All right, so that was the pay-per-view. And good riddance. Thank God it's over with. Now we can move on, focus on WrestleMania. So speaking of WrestleMania, though, last week we teased this, and we're going to talk about it. We talked about... What do we think makes a great WrestleMania? Kat, I'm going to throw this one over to you for the starting points. Go ahead, what you want to kind of mold this into.
So here's why I think. I think if we broke it down by categories, there's a few categories to take into consideration. So the first category we should tackle is pros and cons of bringing back non-regular, you know, main roster.
Part-timers,
yeah. Blast from the past. Or debuting a new guy. That, you know, either way. So, what are the pros and cons of bringing back the past superstars?
Okay.
Steve?
The pro? You want the pro right now?
Yeah, let's do pros first.
You can do either or. Oh. Or both.
The thinking is obviously that you're going to get people who haven't watched it in a while hear about some guy they used to like back when they were like 15 and like, oh, I want to watch that. And they buy it and they'll buy it. But now that it's free for a month, you sign up, it's kind of pointless because you're not getting any revenue from them. Cons being they're out of shape. They don't belong there. So I think the cons outweigh the pros for that situation.
Okay. I'll go, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Pros, like Steve said, you're going to get those guys who used to watch wrestling in the past.
Guys and girls, Russ.
People.
Hashtag me too.
Yes. You're going to get the people, and we can't forget Filipina transgenders.
Guys is all-encompassing, okay?
It is. It really is. But you're going to get the people who used to like wrestling, who don't watch it anymore.
Humans.
Okay, fine, humans. Let's go that way. You're going to get humans who like to watch wrestling, who don't watch wrestling anymore. Like, oh, I like that guy. I'll watch it. So that's definitely a pro. I think also a pro for that is the nostalgia factor, which WrestleMania loves to play up for even the people who do watch wrestling all the time. And we like getting those warm and fuzzies. The con is definitely out of shape slash stealing time for the new guys. So the guys who are there putting it in every night, these part-timers steal their time. And that sucks. Kent?
You know, that is a common criticism. But when done right, bringing back some nostalgia act, for instance, can be a major boon. It's not always negative. Like, we still look forward to Undertaker matches. You know, Undertaker's usually the exception to the rule. But then, like, you know, you have Triple H now, and I don't remember the last time Triple H won a WrestleMania match that wasn't against Sting. So, at some point he needs a win, or he becomes Jericho, where Jericho always came back, feuded, made it seem like it was important, but at the end just jobbed.
But Jericho did it to kind of like, you know, younger guys. Triple H turned into a part-timer this year, so.
Yeah, like, if I remove Undertaker from the equation, I'm happy if we have Undertaker and one more part-timer. One more part-time act. And that includes Brock fucking Lesnar at this point. I'm including Brock Lesnar as a fucking part-timer. And so, if he's got to be in there, then I don't want any other acts. Like, how many part-time acts aside from Undertaker do you think there should be on a WrestleMania card that lasts 17 hours, Steve?
Well, if it's LT or any other giant-related person, they should be on it. but no, I don't think they should. I don't think you should have part-timers. You shouldn't have celebrities, even though that's going to get you big, huge media recognition and making the news, which is what they want.
What about Pete Rose, though?
Pete Rose should be there every year.
Yeah.
Okay. And Kane should be there, like, every year, then. That's a part-timer.
Pete Rose Memorial Battle Royal?
That'd be awesome, but, you know, the whole gambling thing.
Russ, what's your precise number of how many part-timers aside from Undertaker?
Okay, I was gonna say, you did say that with Taker. Max?
Do you count Cena as one, though?
No, I don't count Cena.
No.
No.
I count Brock as one, but I don't think we'll have to worry about Brock
much longer
moving forward.
Yeah. I'm going to go with two. I think get two part-timers, like, just maybe one for a match and one for a segment.
See, I'm okay with a segment. I'm okay if they brought a bunch of them back for segments back.
Yeah.
I'm just not okay with them having matches without them putting... They gotta do something that's gonna be really memorable, otherwise it's just a joke. Alright. Next question. How important is it to have a one-on-one or, you know, like tag team, one team versus one team? How important is it to have the one-on-one matches versus the multi... person matches? Because I think, like, over the past, what, 10 years, like, it's really gotten to a point where almost all the secondary titles end up this multi-person fuckeroo. Russ?
Oh, this is tough, because I, on one hand, the one-on-one matches, I think there's, they can play a better story with it. They can tell a better story with it, and that can be more exciting, especially when you got those two teams and you're really invested into the story. But I understand why they go the multi-man matches. Everybody wants to get on WrestleMania, so you want to get as many people as you can. Sometimes those matches, if you just throw a bunch of teams in on it, they're going to get on WrestleMania, and you kind of want everybody to have their WrestleMania moment at least.
I'll ask you this. If you don't do the multi-man matches... That just means more people for the, say, Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which would make it more prestigious, right?
I guess, because more people would go for it. It's, right now, it just seems like it's just a thing to do. Right. So I agree with you. I guess it would make it a little bit more, because more people would want to go for it. But if you remember correctly, some great matches in the past WrestleManias were multi-man matches with the ladder matches.
I was going to say, weren't they basically the Money in the Bank matches?
Yes, they were.
Years ago?
Yeah, and I think that's where everybody's going off with it. With a gimmick and multi-man, I'm there. You give me a gimmick, a nice fun gimmick, and multi-men, or like multi-groups, multi-teams, whatever.
In hot pants.
And hot, definitely hot pants.
Give us multiple men.
That's all I ever want. Multiple men, yes. I like that segment of it, but if it's just throwing guys in to throw them in, it ruins the story. And I'm really big on story a lot of the times. So,
Steve, what are your thoughts?
It becomes like the six-pack challenge we just witnessed on Fastlane. Where there's not any stories going on, nothing advances, and it's just a big clusterfuck. That's not good. If there's a reason, story-wise, to have multiple people in the match, go for it.
But Steve, there is a reason story-wise, because they want to.
All right, so let's use Miz versus Seth versus Finn. That's an example of a well-done I think we all agree, that's going to be a good match and it's a good story being told. Where do you guys stand on, let's say, New Day Usos Bludgeon Brothers? Is that a good story? Or should it just be Usos versus Bludgeon Brothers?
Well, they haven't made the match yet, have they? So we don't know exactly what's going to happen. I mean,
No, because Shane McMahon is hurt, Russ. The story progression, six-pack challenge, Russ.
Yes, so we don't know what's going to happen there. I want to say it's a good story because they've been building it up slightly for a while. But
yeah, that's a tough call, isn't
but
it? Yeah.
At the same time, you get the Usos at WrestleMania, which hasn't happened for them ever.
Well, they definitely deserve it. They 100% deserve it.
Catering, Steve. Okay.
But the New Day, they've done everything on WrestleMania, so it's not like, except for major title win. So I don't know. I would like to see Bludgeon versus Usos. I think that'd be a little bit more story wise better. You're right, but I'm. It's tough because New Day.
What if I said that you made a TLC match and had all three teams? Would everybody be stoked for that?
Hell yes. That would be amazing.
Would it be TLC and sledgehammers or mallets?
It's got to be.
Ooh. Yeah, screw the chairs. Just get rid of the chairs and make it TLM.
Or TLB. Awesome.
There you go.
Tables, ladders, and bludgeoning.
There you go. I think we'd all be for that, though, if they made that match, because it'd bring us back to Hardy's, Dudley's, and Edge and Christian, the glory years.
Yep.
So, I'm okay with... I don't want more than two multiple fuckaroo matches. I feel on the main card, not the kickoff show, you can do whatever, but on the main card, it should really be limited... Because it should feel prestigious for you to actually attain that match, and that's why part-timers should be left the fuck off the card, though, if you go that route. Mm-hmm. I guess the next thing how important is it to have, three or four women's matches in today's era? Is it a good call to have that many women's matches when women make up, 20% of the roster? 25%?
Isn't that only 25?
Four matches?
Yeah, because isn't that only 25% of the matches?
God, I hope not. God, I'm not looking forward to this year. Steve?
Yeah, Steve.
Wait, if the quality is there to put on four or five good matches, go for it. Right now, I'm going to have to say they don't have the quality for those matches. So they would probably be better off having multiple person matches for the women. Just have them all in one match, get it out of the way.
They are. Fabulous Moolah of Battle Royal.
That's right. So, and then maybe throw
Sasha
and Bayley together.
Is Bayley and Sasha getting relegated to that, you think?
God, I hope not.
I think they should have a match. They should have a one-on-one match by themselves.
But if they have one, would it just be on kickoff show?
Oh, yeah. It would get relegated to that.
Probably.
And at that point, is it better to do that match?
Probably not.
See, maybe not, because they don't get the money for that, do they?
No, it has to be on the main roster.
Didn't Neville complain about that? That's why he left. He didn't get...
Yeah, he was on the Neville level. This guy's shaft.
Yep. Yeah, so... I don't know. It's just, it's tough.
Yeah, Steve brings up a good point. I don't care if it's all women wrestling, if it's quality matches and we know we're going to have fun watching it. But we know that it's impossible.
Like, we're going to have fun watching Charlotte get her head kicked in.
Yes, but that'll just be fun because we just want to see her get her head kicked in. Other than that, it's going to be a terrible match.
On a scale of 1 to 100, what would be your rage level if Charlotte beat Asuka and ended the streak?
100. I'd shut it off there. Shut it off there, because fuck Charlotte.
I might murder someone.
So don't hang out with Steve on WrestleMania night.
So, yeah. Although, is it better Charlotte beats Asuka or Ronda Rousey?
Neither.
Ronda.
Ooh.
Charlotte's been given every fucking thing. At least Ronda earned it.
Not really. I mean,
Ronda earned it in
she came in after the Rumble, pointed to a sign, and then was like, I don't want special treatment. And I'll
give me special treatment.
But give me a match at Mania and whoever I want.
No,
she earned it as far as being a legit athlete.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they want to put Ronda like as a wrestler, a top wrestler, giving her, not right away, down at maybe SummerSlam or later on, give Ronda the beating Asuka, at least that, you know, kind of like legitimizes her a little bit, maybe. That it's kind of like
that
push.
I think it's a bad idea, but
I mean, Shayna Baszler technically earned her match, so her spot too of being a professional athlete, and she's fucking terrible.
True.
God, can Nikki Cross just come up and kill everybody?
That would be good.
I'm so pro Nikki Cross.
I was going to say, what are the matches we're looking at? The four matches. We got the Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal, which is, okay, fine. Whatever. Gets the women on. Charlotte versus...
What, can I just bitch about that for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
How, fucking WWE is so fucking sexist. Okay? I'm pissed off with this bullshit. Oh, anybody from any roster, including NXT, can be in the women's one, but they don't give that same privilege to the men. What the fuck, man? That's fucking pure sexism.
They've had NXT guys in the men's.
But they are not saying that's open to all of them. Where they are saying it is open to all women. And they
also
probably
have,
need
like,
all the fucking NXT.
They also have like double the men in the roster.
Right.
Steve, I'm making a point here. WWE's sexist.
I like how Steve totally blew it out of the water when Kent was just trying to be an ass. I have a question of what makes WrestleMania great.
Tell us,
Ross. You're probably going to hit it anyway, but entrances. Are you going to hit entrances?
Let's bring it up.
All right, let's bring it up. How many...
Orton on semen more often.
Did you say Orton on semen? Oh, right, yeah, because the... That wasn't an entrance, though, was it? Oh, yeah, it was. It was the the dragon. I remember now. Oh, man. Entrances. Do we like them? Like, do we want all of them to be epic or only one or two? Like, for me, I feel like a couple of really epic ones. And then the rest be normal. They're normal entrances.
Rusev on a tank, yes. Sting coming out to Kabuki people? No.
No.
Triple H has had his moment. He doesn't need another one. For the big match.
Steve, name one Triple H entrance moment.
It's tough, but I think someone played his music live that was pretty popular among certain groups.
Play it.
Big matches should have special entrances. The throwaway shitty matches, get them on TV things should not.
Okay. Cat?
I am pro having 4 to 6 special entrances.
Okay.
I'm fine with more special entrances because if we limit it to, say, 2, there's that high chance that WWE's going to botch at least one of them. Right?
Right.
Like, fucking some stupid bitch is going to get on the microphone and sing like some person down to the ring and do a really bad job. Because that's happened quite a few times. Like, nope. Actually, no woman's really done a good job singing a man down to the ring since Lawrence Taylor with Salt-N-Pepa. which WWE has edited out of the network. Just throwing that out there. fucking disgraceful. So, if you give us say 5 to 6, you're guaranteed at least what, 3 good ones?
Yeah.
And you know, you get Bray Wyatt with dancing scarecrows, and you still get Kabuki Sting, which I didn't mind Kabuki Sting as much as Steve did.
It made no sense. He's not Asian.
It made zero sense. But you know, maybe you know. No, I got nothing. Can Braun Strowman come out like carrying some ridiculously oversized thing over his head? Can that just be his special? Like, can he come out pulling a stage with a grappling hook? Because that would be the, you know, that would be great.
Now, could he carry a giant cross, or no, you think?
Oh, I don't know. That might offend Kurt Angle.
Yeah. It's kind of around Easter, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's week after Easter. It's weekend after
so
Easter.
It's kind of relevant.
I don't know. Wouldn't you rather just have Seth Rollins, CrossFit Jesus, doing that?
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
No, he's got to come out to flames. Burning it down.
I was gonna say, can Seth come out with his pants literally on fire?
If he burns those pants, yes.
Ah, yeah. Next question. Main events. We're getting into this era where there's like fucking 5 main events in WrestleMania. Does it really matter? Like, does it matter that they say there's 5 main events when there's only one match that goes on last? Or does it kind of make the true main event feel less important? You know, like, let's go back to WrestleMania 3. Andre versus Hogan was the main event. Even though Savage and Steamboat stole the show, and a lot of people would say that was kind of a co-main event in hindsight, at the time it was not advertised and such. So is it important to really focus on one main event, or does it matter at this point?
I guess I would be more questioning, can you only focus on one main event now with so many stars?
Yeah, because
I would say you need 2 for
did.
Each, one for each brand.
I wouldn't disagree with that, one for each brand. But with John Cena and Taker, that's main event.
Well, here's the problem, though. Well, exactly. Like, and how do you choose? All right, so technically the world championship should always be the
main event.
But then you have Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker. At any point, are you questioning the decision to have that match go on last versus a title match? So, and how important to go on this, how important is it to have the best match on the card go last? The most important match. Is that important?
Well, what do you mean? Well, you said most important or
I
best?
I would say AJ and Shinsuke should be last. That way the fans will end with hopefully an awesome match to remember WrestleMania by, as opposed to part-timers. And no, it's all part-timers in the main event, possibly.
Yeah.
Just to make history with women. although really, having multiple main events is kind of like having multiple Soul Survivors in one Survivor Series match. It's impossible.
This was a tough one because I don't care how many. It does feel ridiculous after a while how many main events you have. I think we were making fun of it last year, weren't we?
We've been making fun of this for years.
Yeah, I feel like, but you can't have just like one main event anymore. Mainly because of the brand split. But even then, I'm like, okay, you got those two, but then you can't call John Cena and Taker not a main event. That is a main event. Like, we've been waiting for that for years.
Well, ECW used to have the title be like the first match on their card, and then they'd have the actual more important
Dreamer versus Raven as the finale.
Yeah. Right. I'm okay with Belt Roman and
anyway, so why not?
I'm okay with Roman and Brock not being main event, but they have basically foretelling this. Yeah, should be a Raw match.
How funny would it be, though, if that was the opening match on, like, they kick it off, like, just to, like, show Brock Lesnar, fuck you, Brock.
I would love it. It'd be great.
I actually thought they would do the shitty House of Deletion as a pre-show.
Now it's going to be on Raw.
Ultimate Deletion or Ultimate Solution. Ultimate. Know, whatever they call it.
Yeah, I thought for sure that was going to be on the Mania card, and now it's not, and Rebby's already bitching online.
Shock.
All right. I think it's most important to have whatever's going to be the most memorable match be the
Agreed.
Last one.
Agreed.
I think that's what's most important.
Title
most
or not? Memorable.
I don't care. Well, here's a question. Think back to WrestleMania 17. Would you have had Austin Rock main event, or would you have had the great tag team match that is so memorable? Let's face it, the tag team match was better, but do you have that main event over Austin versus Rock? That's
at
a
the
really
time,
hard question.
Good point. But at the time, no. Because we wouldn't have thought anywhere. Would you have thought, gee, these guys are going to go super far in this match? That match was shockingly amazing because we didn't think it was going to be as good as it was going to be. So at the time, no. But now, looking back at it, hell yeah.
I don't know if I would change it. I think I'd still keep Stone Cold and Rock. I think I still would keep that as the main event. Because they did it 3 times in 5 years.
True.
I don't know. So, let's... One last thing. Length and girth of WrestleMania. It's gotten
Size
to Lexington Steel.
Case.
Yeah. The motion in the ocean is really bad here. What's a perfect length of time for a WrestleMania? Because I feel it should be longer than a normal 3-hour pay-per-view. I always thought 4 hours was perfect, though. I don't know. What do you guys think?
4.5? I'm thinking like 5 is okay, but that's getting to a point where I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. 4.5 to at least get the matches in that they need.
I think if you only had 4 pay-per-views a year, you could get away with like a 5-hour WrestleMania. As it is now, you have 2 pay-per-views a month. That's ending soon, though, luckily. 3-hour Raw, 2-hour SmackDown, 1-hour NXT, NXT pay-per-view beforehand. And then 205 Live.
Mixed Match Challenge.
Mixed Match Challenge, yep. So there's like... There's way too much wrestling on right now, I think.
True.
So, a 5-hour pay-per-view seems like torture.
Can I clarify? Because I think I was including kickoff. When I say 5-hour, I think kickoff included in that. Were you going like that route, Kent? Were you saying 5 hours is the pay-per-view itself?
I'm fine with what... Yeah, because the kickoff show, if they utilized it right with actual matches, the fucking... showing us the same video packages that they're going to show us 2 hours later.
Yeah, I know, right?
And they'd be like, hey, you can always see this preview on the network, but I can't watch this if I didn't have the network, you assholes.
Yeah, that doesn't, like, having a long pay-per-view just to have more recaps is not good.
Yeah, no, that's terrible. That's terrible.
If you have quality matches set up, do it. I mean, if you have a match that can go half an hour to an hour, this can be good. Sure, go ahead, do it. But don't just have more recaps because you have to fill time.
Well, and I'll end it with this particular question. I think I'll end it. How important is it to have everybody on the show in some capacity? Is it important to have everybody as your end reward get on the show in some capacity, like, you know, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal? And should that possibly be relegated to the kickoff show? Should they just do those 2 Battle Royals for the kickoff show and then have the meaningful matches on the main card? Or does any of this shit even matter?
That's tough. Because for me, I'd like every wrestler to be able to be on so they can have that their payday. I want everyone to get paid. So in that sense, I would be like, yeah, I want everyone to get that chance. But for me as a fan, fuck no, I don't care. Just give me the main stuff I want to see. I don't give a crap about the other guys.
Steve?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you're out of business and they make some money at the end of the year, they give you a bonus for Christmas or whatever. It's good for the employees, and you know, for morale, to give them a little extra payday. But since they're independent contractors, fuck them.
I think if you just utilize the kickoff show for those two Battle Royals and then put all... I'd say hour-long kickoff show, Battle Royals, and then do four hours, eight matches.
That works.
A half hour for each match. I mean, your Undertaker's match is only going to get 5 minutes due to entrances, but...
In age.
You know,
in age, yeah.
And how long, like, fucking mile-long entrance ramp like last year? Jesus.
Oh, God, please tell me they don't do that again.
So, yeah. All right. I think
I would say, I don't know if it's resolved or not, but if you do a pre-show, if you're on the pre-show to Mania, you're on Mania, you get paid for Mania.
Yes, yeah, I agree. You're on Mania, if you wrestle that night, you're on Mania, period. No matter what time. Okay, Kent, you can finish.
Yeah, I think everybody just deserves to get paid. This is like the one, this is kind of like Christmas for wrestlers. Like,
right.
You know, just, everybody should get paid, and I do have one last question. Because I always thought about this. Like, think about, like, back in the day and current day. Is it important to have a big title change at the end? To end your show? I feel like it used to feel more important than it does.
Nowadays?
Right? It doesn't feel as important now.
Yeah, nowadays I don't really care as much. I just want a good match. Especially, like Shinsuke and AJ. I don't care who comes out on top on that one. I just want them to have a great match. Sure, Shinsuke, nice.
Who wins between Brock and Roman?
Okay, there you go. There's the other opposite. Yes, I really want Roman to win to get rid of Brock. Holy crap. So, in that sense, yes, I do care about that one. But for AJ and Shinsuke, I'm happy with a fantastic match. And I guess maybe a slight edge to Shinsuke, just because I got AJ to go to Raw. But if AJ won, I wouldn't be like, oh, WrestleMania's ruined.
All right.
I'm hoping AJ and Shinsuke have a 12-star match to beat Omega and whoever else they do.
All they have to do is have like 15 finishers put applied to each other at the same time.
Guys, the Bullet Club is the best thing going today.
Kerry!
NW!
You're not supposed to be here.
You know, imitation is some form of flattery, but when you're just out and out, fucking... My God. They're just awful. Anyway, so ends our, you know, our discussion. I felt it was a good discussion.
Yeah.
Now let's get on to the boring stuff as fast as humanly possible.
All right, let's go through the rest of this stuff. We don't have too much to talk about. There was a lot going on this week, but... We can hit so much. We're going to be able to talk about this stuff at through WrestleMania.
For 1 week, like
yeah, they just
yes,
Rumble happened the and then nothing, and then all of a sudden,
boom,
loads of stuff.
Yeah,
because last week's Raw was really fucking stacked, and this week's Raw was stacked as was SmackDown. So yeah,
this week way too much happened, and it felt like I couldn't process everything. Like,
but you know what though? They still on Raw. They had like 3 video packages of shit that happened like last week or last month, and yet it still felt like a packed show.
Yeah,
how is that possible?
Well, the packages was because they had to make Ronda Rousey show up on Raw. So,
well, to be fair, it wasn't like she wasn't showing up because she didn't want to. She had to do tests or whatever for the performance center. So,
Russ, show us proof, or else it didn't happen.
Hold on, let me go ask Rhonda. We're close friends because you know how much I love her. So, yeah, I don't know. There's just so much to process, and we have three weeks now, right? Yeah, we have 3 weeks left. We'll process it all as it goes along. So let's just talk about some of the bigger things that happened this week, and go from there. So let's start with our man.
Women.
Oh, go ahead, Kat.
Women, do the women.
Oh,
women first.
You want to do the women first?
Yeah.
Okay. What part of the women do you want to go over? The
Bliss. Naya.
Okay, you want to do that? So that we're not doing that as our other segment?
I did fuck that up, didn't I?
Yep.
Ready to go.
Russ, why don't you introduce this segment that we're doing right now?
So, we don't usually do this right now, but I'm going to introduce a segment for us. And
you're such a shit host.
Good stuff. Good thing nobody listens.
Edit that out.
Yeah, we'll do it in post. We'll do it in post. Okay, all right, so I'm going to introduce us to our namesake segment, Are You Not Kentertained? This week's Are You Not Kentertained segment is the Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, and Mickie James segment, where Nia's having a match with a scrub, or it ended, I'm not sure which, I didn't really pay attention, but all of a sudden, on the Titantron, you see Mickie James and Alexa talking to each other. Unbeknownst to them, the microphone was on and the Titantron for some reason. And they were talking, and they were talking shit about Nia. Guys, were we entertained by this whole thing? Kent.
Well, I would like to believe, and my understanding is, based on sound, is that if you're in the arena, any place in the arena, and something is being played, you know, music or audio or interviews, you can pretty much hear that shit because they have that shit blasting. So, kudos to them for ignoring that and just pretending like Mickey and Bliss could not hear this whole thing. Kudos to Nia, who I thought Nia did a pretty good job. And I'll even say kudos to the fan that had the sign, Are You Not Entertained, at the pay-per-view. Yes, there was that sign. But this was a missed opportunity, and I will say why. It would have been so much better if Nia would have just came back there, picked up Bliss, and Shawn Michaels Mary Jannetty'd her ass through that mirror. Because then you would have had that would have made this feel so much better than, oh, the mean girls are being mean to the fat girl. And that's why I can't sit here and say that I was entertained, because it could have been so much better and Mary Jannetty could be talked about more.
Okay, Steve.
The whole thing wouldn't have happened if Charlie Caruso was a professional and showed up on time to interview them.
Correct.
I don't know why the cameraman didn't be like, hey guys, we're still rolling for some reason, even though Charlie's not here to interview, so don't talk about shit. Nia should have ran back instead of sitting there the whole time.
Yeah, I know. That was the other part that was...
That makes no sense.
Like, I'll listen to what they have to say. Yeah, I'll listen to what they have to say. Oh, they've insulted me. Hold on. Maybe they'll turn it around.
I know.
No,
I'm like,
still
oh,
insulting
Charlie showed
me.
Up now. Let me go attack them now.
Yeah. Oh, now the person showed up. Now I can get pissed. Yeah.
And it's kind of weird that Mickie James was a target of body shaming.
Mickie James was?
I know, right? Mickie James, right?
And now she's, you know, dishing it out as a heel. Actually, why is she a heel anyways? Like, she hated Alexa Bliss, and then all of a sudden they're like, eh, we're best friends.
They needed someone.
A leather jacket last week, though.
So there's a lot of plot holes. So you can't be entertained or entertained by it.
Okay, I'm going the opposite direction of you guys. I'm going to say I was thoroughly entertained about the whole ridiculousness of it. It was just a comedy of stupidity, and it was hilarious. Like you guys said, I don't want to repeat too much, but like you guys said. Not knowing any of those things were going on at any time for all three of them is the stupidest thing I could ever have seen. I'm just like, you really had to suspend your belief that this wasn't real. Like, everything they did screamed, this is set up and fake the entire time. Because, first of all, catching them talking about Nia and then broadcasting it without even mentioning it to them is stupid. So, that would never happen. Or you're telling me Raw is really that poorly run. Right? Next, Nia was fighting a scrub, and she hasn't fought a scrub in, I almost want to say, a year now. Maybe even longer. And I was wondering why she was fighting a scrub. Like, why is she fighting a scrub? And that was the reason. But the best part was the last few moments when Alexa and Mickey realize what happened, and Alexa just trying to book it out of there was hilarious. And then Naya's reaction, gold. Oh my god, I laughed so hard. The way she was screaming and just acting really up, trying to act upset, I guess is the best word.
She was Charlotte Flairing the shit out of that.
She was chewing the scenery big time. I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. So yes, I was entertained by the hilariousness. So,
can I point out that earlier in the night when they had Asuka, Mickey, Bliss, and Charlie all out there, they're all the same goddamn height, except for Charlie has like 1 inch. The rest of the girls are the exact same height. I noticed this. I was like, the fuck? Everybody always says that Bliss is so short, but she's just as tall as Asuka and Mickey.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. I thought she was a little bit shorter than them, but...
Well, Asuka's Asian. They're pretty short. So
yeah.
Stave racist.
Really racist. We don't stand for that on this podcast. Hashtag racist.
Now, Russ, you said that we had to suspend our disbelief on this, but, I mean, I could have swore that I saw Vince McMahon on my TV screen earlier in the night, so what are you talking
about?
Also
Shane, hanging out backstage of Raw.
Yeah, he's just helping out the production crew of The Rival? Like, what the fuck, guys?
It's just so funny, like, I'll suspend my belief because it's wrestling, and I don't care. But sometimes they really, really push the suspension of belief.
Yeah.
So. All right.
Let's move on.
All right, let's move on. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the tag team in Raw. So, or division. I should guess I finished it off with the division. We're going to talk about the tag team division. So, the Bar goes to Kurt, and they demand... that they get a match. I don't remember. They're demanding competition or whatever. They're demanding competition.
Traded is what they wanted.
Yeah.
Oh, it was. Okay, right. The trading, right. I knew there was something they were going back. Let me tell you something. So much happened. I forgot.
They were being mistreated and they got attacked unfairly.
Yes, yes. So.
Unsafe working conditions.
Right.
Got Triple H removed from power at one point.
So they go back there and instead of being traded. Kurt decided to have a multi-team match where the team that won gets to face the Bar, I believe was the correct match. And then the teams went out, and then how was he a part of the match? I don't get it. Like, I missed this part or something. Braun comes out.
Yeah, Braun. They had, like, an interview that was interrupted by everybody? No, it was the Miz Triads against the... Baylor Dick Sucking Club, and then everyone came out and interfered, and then they had a battle royal later on, and Braun just showed up and was like, "I'm in this."
Right. So did Braun just say he was in it? Like, Kent, please enlighten me because I missed this part.
This is Braun's WrestleMania, Road to WrestleMania.
It is obviously, but
here's my conclusion: was any ref backstage going to say, "No, Braun, you're not allowed to do this"? No? Okay. Then there's your logic. Nobody was going to... Remember Braun's Night of Destruction like 3 months ago? Nobody could tell him until Kurt Angle was like, oh, no, you're not fired anymore.
No one wanted to get those hands.
Yeah, nobody wanted to get those hands. But it was... I like where they went with it, but are they going to give Braun a partner, or is it going to be him versus the Bar?
I am praying that they do the right thing. And we all know what the right thing is.
Get Elias as his partner?
Yeah, Elias needs a partner, and Elias and Braun as World Tag Team Champions is fucking money. That is so...
The duet they can sing.
Yes.
Elias has just proven himself in the same way that Braun proved himself. Like, both guys are fucking great entertainers, and they're good enough in the ring to do stuff. I think that's kind of like almost the team. Maybe that's the team that AOP has to knock off. Like, that's the push that they give AOP, perhaps. So, I don't know. I will be furious, quite frankly, if we get a handicap match. I hate handicap matches because the singleton always wins.
Right. I hope they do the right thing, too. But I so see this happening as Braun winning, and he'll be a single person holding the tag team championship. That doesn't make much sense.
I hope he gets like beat down, and then you hear the guitar, and Lias comes out and reaches his hand out. That's all I want.
I thought initially it would have been Titus and Braun, the last two standing, and they're in a team.
Titus put up a good showing, though, right?
He did, yeah, because Apollo was out right away. And I guess it's not the old rules, or it was if one guy's out, the whole team's out. Since Titus stayed in.
Did you guys see how good the Revival did? Me neither.
No, me either. They were... Oh, yeah.
I'm just glad the Bullet Club didn't win.
If Elias weren't the tag team partner, would anybody really be that upset if a certain resident from his hometown at WrestleMania showed up to be Braun's partner? Perhaps a guy that brought Braun in to begin with?
Well, that's not.
I'm kind of thinking he ends up being Bret Hart's tag team partner, that guy.
Right, because we've never done the Rivals become
After
tag team
Sister
partners.
Abigail shows up on Raw next week.
She better not show up on Raw next
she
week.
She better be in the Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal.
Damn right. Or fighting Finn, goddammit.
Give us that Demon vs. Sister Abigail match we don't want.
That's the match we need. That's the match not
How
we want.
Are we ever going to see the Demon ever again? Like, that was like... At least at NXT, he came out for the takeovers. On WWE main roster, oh, here's a worthless Raw. Make your debut.
Yeah, God, what a waste of the Demon. Maybe at least they've been hiding him for a while now.
Maybe he'll have one of the six cool entrances at WrestleMania.
God, no, no. He'll have a cool match. He doesn't need the Demon to have a cool entrance.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, you're right.
The Demon have a personality.
Yes, he does.
Oh, could he come out as Papa Shango? Since it's New Orleans.
Could Papa Shango be Braun's partner?
You know what? He's still in really good shape.
Is he?
The Godfather?
Yeah. I guess you're right. I wouldn't say he was in good shape, but he was definitely...
He had muscles still. Like, his arms were still built.
I read somewhere that he owns a strip club in Vegas, and D'Lo Brown is his accountant.
That makes so much sense.
If that's true, that's amazing.
I kind of want to find that strip club and go to it just to find try to find D-O.
It's called Teasers. It's in Utica. It's not where you
think. Yes, definitely go pay that place a visit. You'll find everything you want there.
Yep.
All the Nation of Domination you can handle.
I think I'll skip that one.
All right. Next. All right. So... I guess we'll move to SmackDown real quick now, and we'll talk about the... Oh, Ked, what?
Oh, my mic was on.
Yeah.
Oh.
You pulling an Excel there? Oh. You forgot it was on?
Yeah, my bad. I was just making noises. I do believe that it's time for everybody's favorite segment at 9:54 p.m., Russ's Man Crush of the Week.
All right, Man Crush of the Week. Guys, this was not tough. It wasn't even close this week. I'm going with Luke Harper of the Bludgeoning Brothers. And there's just a few reasons why. He finally got to use his mallet. And man, did he look good swinging that thing. Sexy, even. I would go as far as, yes.
I wish they didn't call them mallets, though, because
they're definitely hammers.
Croquet, and like croquet is not really a croquet mallet isn't really any threatening.
I don't know. I don't want to be hit by a croquet mallet. I mean, I'd be better off being hit by that than those friggin' whatever the hammers of the
Thor
bludgeon
hammer?
Boat. Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, my God. Their entrance has grown on me. The finally getting to use the hammers was amazing. Oh, just so cathartic seeing them use it.
Was it poignant also?
It was no, it wasn't quite poignant. They didn't make their point on it. So, But
you know, speaking of hammers, I posted a video on Facebook today.
I saw it. Yes.
Of so hammer good. Performing. What's his name?
Psy. Psy. Yeah. So good. Yeah. So good.
From Gungam Style?
Yeah. Yeah. It was really good. It's really good. But Luke Harper has a movie coming out, Kent. Did you know that?
No. Tell me more, Russ. Like the name of it.
You want me to make the name of it? If only I can remember it.
There may or may not be a river named after it.
I still don't know.
Oh, God.
Good times. Does
Amsterdam team named this?
Do they?
Aren't they the Mohawks?
Oh, well, they have a baseball team named the Mohawks.
Who does?
Well, there you go. That's exactly what I was referring to.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. It's called Mohawk. Is it called Mohawk?
It is called Mohawk, and it's done in, God damn it, 1800s? It's like a period piece, but Luke Harper is in it. I guess there's a lot of blood and gore, I've read. And he's very excited. He filmed this back in 2016, and it just got released. So far, it's exclusively on iTunes for $12.99. And, you know, that or pirate it. And I just want to voice my displeasure because I thought Eric Rowan did a lot more this week than Luke Harper. I was like, why wasn't Eric Rowan the man crush of the week? Russ, what the fuck are you doing?
I know, right? It's almost as if I was actively choosing not to go with Eric Rowan at all.
Yeah, you got something against ginger for us?
That's why. To be fair, except for Steve, gingers don't turn me on. So, all right. Well, that was my man crush of the week. Now, let's move on to Sami KO and Shane McMahon. Finally.
They had so much plot advancement, finally.
So, finally, after spinning their wheels for 4 months, I think that's honest. 5 months? 5 months?
Shane and KO have been feuding since AJ versus KO last summer. Remember? Because
God, it was that long ago? I felt like it was like November.
Nothing has happened. Like, no matter what you say about Fastlane, nothing has happened in 9 months, okay? Nothing.
Ugh, it doesn't feel like it was that long, but finally.
We almost had like, this almost dates back to the Festival of Friendship. Like, this is absurdly retarded how long. Or maybe we should applaud them for having a 9-month storyline. I don't know.
No, this was bad because they stalled it for about 4 or 5 months. And that was the problem with it. But they finally moved it forward. Is it enough to save it? Are you intrigued again? Kent.
No, I don't know what to be intrigued about because what's the match?
Well, Sami versus KO
is how Daniel Bryan will be involved.
Yes.
Like, if I was booking this, I would have Shane McMahon say, okay, you guys are taking on a mystery tag team and bring out AOP at WrestleMania. That's how I would book it. I wouldn't book it with Shane McMahon in another match. Please. No.
Well, technically he's not in the match yet.
I'm hoping it's KO and Sami against Shane and the mystery partner, and that mystery partner turns out to be everybody's favorite Mean Seat Posse member, Pete Gass.
If Shane
oh my God, yes.
the fucking Mean Street Posse to even up the odds, I am all in on this storyline, and I'll take back every mean thing I said this whole fucking podcast.
It's the only way to save it, I think.
Oh, God. Pete Gass.
And what was the other guy's name? Rodney something?
Yeah, it was
right?
Rodney. Joey Abs, I think, too. I don't know.
Joey Abs, yeah, they had Joey Abs.
Oh, God damn it. Good shit.
That's one part timer I wouldn't mind seeing again.
If you're going to bring back a part timer, it should be a Mean Street Posse guy.
So, did Shane give up his position so he could work backstage at Raw? Is that what I was led to believe?
Well, no, he worked backstage at Raw before. He was gave up his position.
Can anybody imitate the whatever the fuck that sound was that was coming from Shane at the end?
right? Like that. Oh my god.
It was so. God damn it!
I think some porn stars can.
Oh yeah, that's what I
Not that I watch porn. I assume they can do that. I mean, I don't know how they would, like what they would put in their mouths for that, but I've heard things.
I don't know. Pete gas maybe in their mouths? I don't know.
So, Steve, we didn't answer you. Were you more intrigued now that they finally got this story moving?
I'm happy that they got it going, but like I said, the only thing intriguing is how Brian will be involved. He obviously won't be Shane McMahon's partner.
You don't think so? All right, they might. They just
they
might
have
do
him
it.
Take bumps from KO and Zayn.
But if they do it, maybe not bumps, but maybe let him come in and do most of the offense on those guys.
I mean, against Shane, he can take those little baby punches fine.
I think anybody can take those baby punches.
That's why I thought for all this time that it was going to be Daniel with Sammy and KO, where Daniel came in and took a little bit of Shane's offense, but he didn't.
Which, once again, the Mean Street Posse would even it out.
Oh my god. Okay. There we go. We got it. Got it. Daniel Bryan, KO, Sammy versus Shane McMahon in the Mean Street Posse. Sold. Main event WrestleMania, period.
Here's what I would do if I was Shane.
Automatically.
I would stay in power long enough to make one trade with Raw. Bring in the one guy that can change the whole thing. That, my friends, is Kalisto, because Kurt Angle once did that, and the crowd loved it.
Yes, they were so pumped for it. I remember it. We have the newest signing to Raw, our 205, Kalisto! Crickets.
That was one of the greatest. Kurt couldn't save that segment. No way could save
I
that segment.
Nobody got more free agents who can help out. Like, is Cena the only allowed free agent?
Is Jack Swagger still a free agent?
I believe so, but on the Independents.
And Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah.
Yeah. CM Punk.
No, he's gonna headline the Cody Rhodes Independent
Fuckfest.
Yeah, at Chicago there. Trying to get 10,000 people to fill that.
You know, here's the thing that kind of disturbs me about Cody is that everybody's saying that he's building up his value, and he probably is to those fans, but he's really kind of just being terrible right now at what he does. Like, he's not really upped his wrestling game at all.
I think he's trying to become a promoter.
Yeah, it's not. When I have to say that Kenny Omega is clearly the better of the two, we've hit a low for me.
For you. So. I would say for you, yes.
I think a good gauge of how well, actually something happened before that, of how well that independent thing will do is if Chris Jericho's boat thing sells out.
It's not. Because I've
it's
heard
the it's... exact same people. So if it doesn't sell out, that's a lot smaller venue. It's only maybe...
Neckbeards?
It's only maybe 3,000 on the boat. Available.
Oh, really? That's it? I thought they were going to have, I thought it was like 5 to 10, but what do I know?
It might be. It depends on what size boat they got. I don't know, but...
Yeah.
If that doesn't sell out, that nobody Chicago's going to sell out.
Do you think that Cruise is going to sell out? Because I've heard a lot of things that's not doing too great.
Although, it's probably more expensive than Chicago. Maybe not that way.
It's going to be a lot more expensive.
Well,
yeah.
You count in travel and hotel, maybe it's not that more expensive.
It's for people like Carrie and Eric, who have disposable income up the wazoo.
I would have gone...
So, like you, too.
I would have gone, but I don't want to deal with those fans.
Right.
There's no way.
Yeah.
They had some good
Steve, what's wrong with those fans?
They got some good bands,
too. They're really
too,
good.
Which is
they're
sad,
passionate fans.
Yeah, but they're passionate, and they're totally against WWE, where Steve's not against WWE. He understands it sucks sometimes.
I'm not
going to
worship
superior product.
This guy from Japan, because I've never seen him wrestle. When I just hear he's awesome. Like,
yeah.
I'm not gonna go
he's good.
Steve, he's awesome.
I guess he is. He has like 8-star matches all the time. I mean,
I'll be honest. I really like him, but God, the way they talk about him makes me want to hate him.
Hey, and then there's those young bucks called the Young Bucks.
They're the
that
young
aren't
bucks.
Really young, and they're fucking terrible.
Super Kick Freddy.
Super. Yes. Oh.
Like, as much as I hate Jeff Hardy and am loving everything that happened, I just want the Young Bucks to go away. Like, I wish for them to become obsolete.
So you wish you could delete them?
So you could delete them, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I wish I could just take them to a compound somewhere and just have two kids, a king and a lord? I can't
He's
remember
lord,
what the
yeah.
other one.
Yeah, lord. Yeah.
Just vanquish them.
Mm.
Also, I was wondering, does Seth Rollins have a hard-on for Game of Thrones? Because he's got the Kingslayer for a move, and he has Dragon's Breath on his pants.
It's possible.
Can we never talk about the pants again?
No, Russ, because he's your favorite wrestler, and you're not going to get to live that shit down until Baron Corbin does something equally retarded.
It's coming, Kat. It is
well,
coming.
At least Becky tried to make him feel better by wearing the same thing.
Oh, my God. I finally saw, like I must not have paid attention to Becky's outfit. I looked at it like, oh, my God, it's terrible.
Did either of you watch the pre-show?
It was
kind of
like a Bam Bam Bigelow homage.
Yeah! That's a good example. Except Bam Bam was way superior
it was.
In every way.
It's a match to 10.
Yes.
Did you guys watch the pre-show where Booker T was adamantly trying to tell everybody that Baron Corbin was going to win the six-pack?
Yes,
round?
Yes.
He was so adamant. It was great.
That is classic. It's classic Booker.
Yeah, that's why Booker T should be on TV every week and not relegated to pre-shows.
How easy is it to move Coachman to SmackDown, get Corey just on Raw, and put Booker
I
back on Raw?
I don't think I'd keep Coachman under contract because of everything.
Oh, you're going everything. I would say if it turns out to be false.
Allegedly speaking, Enzo Amore, I mean Jonathan Coachman. Oh, same thing.
But was it Coachman?
Hey, but Roman Reigns can do a bunch of steroids. He's gonna get to main event and win the belt. But you know, that's cool.
But Kent, to be fair,
he has wet hair.
Yeah, exactly.
No, evidence hasn't posted yet, but Roman Reigns doing steroids.
And what does it matter if he does steroids anyway? It's a fake match. It's fake wrestling.
He's suspended once anyways for wellness violation. They can say that was a steroids suspension. I'm done with it.
Yeah. I don't get this. I never got the steroid thing against people. Like, it's fake. Who the fuck cares if they do steroids?
Ross, have you ever heard of a man named Chris Benoit?
Yes. I hear he's a really good wrestler.
That was concussions and mental illness, I think.
Yeah, I heard that was concussions.
What?
Yeah, I thought that was concussions.
No. That man did not have dementia or the brain of an 80-year-old. That did not happen. It was steroids. It was roid rage.
And Kent, we all know he was set up anyway. We know it was fake.
Kevin Sullivan did it. I don't know what you're
talking about.
Kevin
Sullivan did do it, okay? Can that be like next season's American Crime Story based on the Chris Benoit? Like, that's what they need to do. American Crime Story, Benoit. I'd watch the shit out of that.
Does it matter if he's Canadian?
We should really wrap this shit up.
I was about to say, I was just thinking, like, my God, we have so gone off on a tangent. That's not even funny. We should wrap this
Russ,
up.
Host Someone this was on shit time. Properly.
Hey. Family emergencies first. Family emergencies first. That's going to happen for a while now, I hate to tell you. No, we need Carrie back to wrap us up because I'll let this inane shit go on because I think it's hilarious.
You're still letting it go.
All right. It is, exactly.
Russ?
All right, fine. We're done. That was it. That's all we were going to talk about.
Can we trademark that crime story idea so no one can take it?
Yes. Verbal trademark on the crime story so nobody can use it. Check.
Fuck you, Ryan Murphy.
That'd be his Netflix show.
All right. So, Kent. Never mind. We do the wrestler first. Oh, no, wait. Oh, so, we always talk about I'm not finished with you yet. It's our segment about what we're looking forward to next week. So, Steve, being the guest who's on the least, what are you looking forward to most next week?
I'm looking forward to see if Corey Graves can drop any more Megadeth or other awesome music references onto the show.
That was amazing. That was amazing. All right, Kat.
I'm curious to see how well they edit out Jeff Hardy from the Total Deletion match.
I was going to say, was he a part of it?
Curious if we get any Elias story.
Well, you kind of took mine, so...
What, were you really going to go Jeff Hardy?
No, I was going to go Braun Strowman and see if Elias... becomes his tag team partner.
Okay, Russ. I mean, you like really creatively disruptive things like the six-pack challenge that we've never seen. So why not just go for something redundant?
I don't want to be redundant. So I'm looking forward to Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair and Asuka. Yeah! No,
can we just get a promo off, like, just a 30-minute promo between those two?
Oh, God.
Please?
Yeah, if you want me to turn off the television. Not because of Asuka, but Charlotte.
I'm not an alcoholic yet, but I can be.
Okay, Ron. all right. Now, let's play everyone's favorite game, Guess the Wrestler. So, each week, one of us comes up with a wrestler, and the other... people on the podcast, I can't really say other people, or two people, but in this case it is two, get to ask questions that I'll answer for them. And in this case, it's me because I have to guess the wrestler. And we try to see if they can guess our wrestler. So, gentlemen, I have my wrestler. Who's going first?
Are you sure of his nationality?
Am I sure of his nationality? Yes. All right.
Isn't there like two questions we get or something?
Yes, I was about to say. So my first two are current wrestler
and male.
And male.
Is it Eric Rowan?
No, it is not Eric Rowan. That is one question. You lost it.
It was just probably Luke Harper.
Now, to be fair, it was Eric Rowan. You screwed that up by saying it first earlier.
So I've already won this game once.
Before we even played it.
Then my first question doesn't count.
I know. Go ahead. I don't care.
All right. I will ask the simple question. What brand?
Ooh.
Or show?
Ooh. Currently, it doesn't really have a brand.
So is he free agent?
So he's independence. He's in the independence right now. Yeah, he's in the independence right now.
What's your independence got to do with me?
I ain't trying to hear that, see.
What was the highest title he won?
I would have to say the WWE Championship.
It's like Jack Swagger, is it?
Yeah, I was just going to say it's fucking Swagger. Russ?
Well, okay. Go ahead.
What? All right. Was this person a... All right. When he was in WWE, is he a former Money in the Bank holder?
Briefcase holder? That I don't know. I want to say no, but I could be wrong.
Oh, shit. So we're getting rid of Sandow real quick.
Yeah,
who was never a champion, but should have been. God, they had like...
Yeah, no, I'm going to say no. I don't think he ever was. But I don't want to lie, so...
Jack Swagger was a former Money in the Bank briefcase.
It's not Jack Swagger. I would have given it to you already by now, because we are running over.
He wasn't part of We the People, whatever that team was.
I'm pretty sure it would have been on the Wikipedias.
Yeah, I know. That's why I would have thought too, but I don't see it, so.
All right, we'll say no.
Okay.
Steve?
Was he in a faction?
Yes.
Yep, good. Okay. What color hair?
Black.
Trying to think of factions now.
In WWE?
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, wait, I lied. He is a Money in the Bank champion. I finally found it. It wasn't underneath where he what it would have thought would have been. I found it finally. Yes, he did win the Money in the Bank.
Did he successfully cash it in?
Didn't most everybody do except for one?
Pretty much, yeah.
So, yes, he did.
Can I get a clarification here?
Sure.
You said he's still an active wrestler.
Yep.
Is there proof of that?
Okay, so it's not Punk.
Punk could technically still be active, right? No, I guess not.
No, Punk's not active wrestler. He retired. He's out the game.
He's out the game?
Alright, so Money in the Bank. That'd be Edge. That'd be Punk. Swagger. Kane? Has a black-haired wig, but that'd just be cheating on Russ's
part. Right, and Kane isn't really independent. Like, he...
Well, is he registered independent?
I... I don't know.
No, I think he's libertarian.
I have a question.
Sure.
Has he ever wrestled in TNA?
Yes.
Okay. So, he feuded with Swagger, then.
Absolutely. Yes. At some point.
Is he Hispanic?
He is Hispanic.
Did we think that he may kill his girlfriend at one point?
I do believe, yes. We thought that. In fact, you had a bet with him in there at some point, yes.
Did he like to use the word pero?
Yes. Yes, he did. You know what's really funny? I had chosen him, and like 5 minutes later, you said his name. I'm like, son of a bitch.
He's psychic.
He is. I was like, what the hell?
So I took Rowan and Alberto. I'm good.
Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, he said his name. Nope. Don't act like it was your wrestler. They don't know. They don't know.
Yeah, it's not like I stare at your face like, oh my god, Russ is twinged one way.
Wrestler. You know what the worst part is? I didn't know if he was still part of Impact Wrestling yet, because technically he is.
I think he is.
On TV, he still is, but it's taped, so you never know.
Right. And I know he's doing Triple Mania, which would say he's independent. So,
well they have a deal TNA, with, you can they work have a deal with now.
Lucha Underground, too, where they can do both.
Oh, did they? Oh, yeah, I didn't know
Johnny
that.
Impact's going to be Johnny Mundo also in season 3. I think.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got it. So, Kent, before we call quicks real quick, what you got going on?
Tomorrow I should have up the review of Fastlane because I finally finished that pay-per-view this morning.
Rough, wasn't it?
It took me so long to finish that fucking thing. The Mist blog should be up this week. Our weekly shit Walking Dead blog. And we're not... No, we still got a couple weeks before April Fool's Day, so we're good.
Okay. All right. Well, then. That is going to be the show. Not a bad time running... Actually, guys, we did better than last week. So, for Kent, Steve, and myself, and of course, Carrie, wherever she is, this has been Are You Not Kentertained? And we're done for the evening. Have a good one.
You know, I asked Carrie if she wanted to be on this week just to answer some WrestleMania questions. She just told me straight up to go fuck myself. And I was like, God damn it.